As always, we kick off the 10 o'clock hour with Sporting a Cause with Willie Hallahan. Of course, sportingacause.com on the web. Willie has a blog, but he also has a list of chronological events coming up, and they're all sports-related and somehow, well, sports-related, and then they're all fundraisers somehow. And we live in strange times and different times right now, but the march goes on, and let's bring in Willie Hallahan. Good morning, Willie.
Good morning, Marshall. Yeah, strange and different for sure. But the beat goes on. You know, this there are things coming up, altered, canceled, but worthy of note. This weekend, I mentioned it last weekend, but yesterday and today, this is probably an event that's been the least affected by the pandemic, because it was kind of a virtual event anyway. It's the Connecticut Trails Day 2020. And it was meant basically, it was an offshoot of National Trails Day, which was a federal event, but to shed light on all the areas, the trails, the reserves and parks and so forth that Connecticut has, that the public has access to. And there may have been a little bit of ceremony scheduled. That went away, of course. But they basically turned it into a do-it-yourself event where people just go and hike. That's become very big lately. I mean, it's quite timely, really, because the idea of people being sequestered and in hunkering inside and everything, having a chance to get out and get in the fresh air, has become a big deal. And this is a perfect way to do that. It's sponsored by the Connecticut Forest and Parks Association. They have a website, a very comprehensive site. It's great to tell people about, it's like 230 different areas and trails and so forth in the state that people can use. And you can access that. If you go to my website, sportingthecause.com, and on the homepage, upcoming events, you'll see today, Connecticut Trails Day. Click on that, and it'll take you to a link that takes you to this this list of parks and trails and so forth. And it'll tell you everything you need to know. It's very good. And it's not just for this weekend. It's for forever, really. You'll be encouraged. You'll see trails maybe downstate someplace. And you might want to take a ride and try someplace different. Anyway, it's all good. Tomorrow was supposed to be the Murphy Open Golf Tournament. I've been talking about how that's been canceled, of course. It was sponsored by the Tri-State Chamber of Commerce. And Jeannie Salader, who is the tournament chairperson, has encouraged people, golfers, to maybe get their foursomes together and play around of golf anyway. In the next couple of days, even though the tournament's over, doesn't mean you can't go to a course nearby, play around, and maybe, just maybe, most importantly, pass a hat and collect some funds for the Jane Lloyd Fund, because they were to be the beneficiary of this tournament. And the Jane Lloyd Fund, as much as anybody, has suffered, because they've had several fundraising events, both big ones, major ones, and small ones, canceled or postponed this spring alone. So, play around the golf, play it for Murph, Bill Mayberry, after whom the tournament's named, and take up a collection for the Jane Lloyd Fund. I think Jeannie said for the foursome that collects the most money, she's got a little prize for them. But most importantly, think of the Jane Lloyd Fund. They do great work around here. They provide living expenses for people who had a cancer diagnosis, and I know several families who have benefited from it, and it changes their lives. This coming weekend was a big weekend for Special Olympics. The Friday and Saturday of the 12th and 13th was the weekend where the Summer Games for Special Olympics were being held all over the country. Special Olympics is an international organization and certainly an American institution, but each state has its own program. Each state is in charge of its programs and its fundraising and everything. So every state was having a two-day summer games this coming weekend, and that's all changed now. In addition to that, every Summer Olympics is preceded by a torch run. This is a big, big deal. It's a fundraising event. The law enforcement world is very closely tied with Special Olympics. And every year preceding the summer games, there would be this torch run that goes through the counties or the state where the summer games are going to be held. Law enforcement, these aren't just a few officers that happen to be off duty to do this. This brings state police, sheriffs, police chiefs, Secret Service agents, FBI. They all get involved in this run, and typically when in better times, it would be a relay kind of situation where they'd carry the torch from one town to the next, somebody else would take it, and so on, and end up with a special Olympian who lights the torch to start the games. But, of course, that's all changed now. For Special Olympics Connecticut, that torch run has been turned into a virtual event, and the Friday and Saturday summer games have become virtual. These athletes, they don't just get together four times a year for games. They train all year long, and I'll get to that more in a minute. So they've known for some time that the games are going to be virtual, so they've been training and competing, and they get to turn in their times, and it'll be a competition in that sense, but there'll be no physical one. I'm going to cover the three states that are of interest to Sporting a Cause, the tri-state area. Special Olympics Massachusetts also has gone virtual, and their torch run has become a cruiser convoy, they call it, and the law enforcement people will basically form a parade starting at the Berkshire Mall on the 13th and run their torch run that way. And over New York State, the summer games have been canceled completely. They decided that everybody assesses their situation, and they just chose not to hold it at all. So that's sad. But anyway, throughout the world, and certainly in North America, the Special Olympics are a big deal. And that's pretty much it. But Marshall, some time ago, I expressed a desire when there was air time, and these days when events are being canceled, I have a little bit of extra. I wanted to start profiling, if you will, charities that end up on my website for one reason or another, both local and larger than that. And I thought I'd do Special Olympics today just because next weekend is such a big deal. I think everybody's heard of Special Olympics for sure, but I'm not sure people know that much about it, and it's really fascinating from its origin and how it's evolved. And it was started by Eunice Kennedy Shriver. She was part of the Kennedy family. It was a large family. I think it was like seven or eight children. Her brothers were Bobby and Ted Kennedy, and of course JFK, our president. And one of their siblings, I think it was Rosemary was her name. She was intellectually impaired. Intellectually challenged. And back then, this is 1968, I was a senior in high school, and I used, thinking back, I just think of that as being kind of enlightened times, you know, modern times, but in some ways it really wasn't, because back in the 60s, intellectually challenged people were hidden away, quite frankly. They were either in institutions or at home, and sometimes considered an embarrassment even, you know, sadly. Eunice thought differently. She had a sister who had this affliction condition, and she was a social worker herself, Eunice, and she thought that intellectually challenged people had more to offer than they had been allowed up to that point. She was convinced of it. So the vehicle she chose to explore that was a sports competition. And it was very much an experiment. Nobody knew. Nobody knew how this was going to work out. But it was a huge success. Within the year, it became a national event. In 71, a couple of years later, the International Olympic Committee gave them permission to use the word Olympic in their name. It became a big deal, and evolved into what it is today. and I think there are like 5 million participants at this point. And then in 1989, basically 20 years after UNIS started it, they added Unified Sports, that's a registered name, to the Special Olympics program. And this is pure genius. What they did was they paired elementary, middle, and high school students with Special Olympics athletes to train, to play together. They have different programs. So sometimes they'll play, they'll compete with and against each other in basketball games, and sometimes they'll just train together depending on the situation. And what it brought in is a few million more people into the mix, volunteers, basically. And the benefits on both sides have been just incredible. The obvious beneficiaries, of course, were the Special Olympic athletes who got to partner and become friends with these high school kids or grade school kids, depending on their age. I think the Special Olympians range in age from 8 to like 25. But they've benefited hugely from this. And, of course, the high school kids and the grade school kids have benefited as well because, first of all, they're exposed to a part of the segment of the population that they might not have known much about, might have even teased or laughed at, you know, at some point. But that all changes once they become partnered. And anyway, that is a huge and ongoing success. And I find this very heartening. Recently, in one of the states, somebody started a unified robotics program where, schools have robotics teams and they compete. Well, they've made that a unified event in one state so that these kids who are involved in robotics bring in Special Olympics athletes and involve them in robotics. And in Arizona, they've started unified sport, unified arts. So clearly, there's no end to where this could all go, and it's all good. An interesting thing that Marshall, we've heard it before. There's this ongoing debate when it comes to awards and trophies. Do you award school kids trophies based on merit, or do you give everybody participation awards? That goes back and forth, and there's no real solution. But UNIS, way back before this argument even started, I think probably hit on the solution, which is kind of in the middle ground. When they have a game, first of all, before they hold the games, these kids are training year-round. By the way, there are four games. Every season has a game. They train year-round. Before the actual event, they take great pains to group athletes by ability so that they're very closely, and whether it's times, distances, no matter what the event is, they're pretty closely matched. And when at the end of the games, the winners are awarded just like the Olympics. They award a gold, silver, and bronze medal to the first, second, and third place. But then they give colored ribbons to places 4 through 8, if there are that many. And if athletes have been disqualified, that can happen just like any other sport, or they, for one reason or another, they can't finish the event, they're given ribbons to signify that they were there and maybe give them something to work for. So, there's definitely, they definitely award the winners. They recognize the lesser winners, the 4 through 8 places, and they acknowledge for the kids who just couldn't finish for one reason or another that they were there and have something to work for. I remember Marshall a few years ago, more than a few years ago now, I think it was back in the 80s, Salisbury hosted the Winter Games, Special Olympic Games for Connecticut, and SWASA was very much involved in that, and a lot of us volunteered. And I was involved with a cross-country skiing competition, and it was an extraordinarily moving experience. I just remember one athlete. He wasn't a youngster. He might have been up on the upper limits of the age scale there. He was in his 20s. He was cross-country skiing, And he was, like, all of them, intellectually challenged and blind. And this guy is, he's cross-country skiing. He doesn't have anybody holding on to him or anything. Clearly he was using the track that his skis were in to guide him, but that's all he was doing. And I thought, wow, when you talk about being challenged, I mean, you know, it makes you wonder, what have I got to complain about? Anyway, it's a wonderful organization. There aren't a lot of events that happen right here in our part of the world. Over at Hotchkiss School, they have a swimathon to raise money for the swim team. Most of the actual events are held in other parts of the state, but we have athletes all over the place. There are athletes from our area that benefit from it. So, wonderful organization started by a great lady and a brave move back then. I mean, it broke new ground because basically it changed our view on what people can do, what their abilities can be. So a great organization.
You know, it's interesting, participation. Just imagine this. When you're a member of the Olympics, you get a letter that you are an official member of the Olympic Games of that year. That is like getting a participation thing where everybody can hold on to, whether you get a gold medal or silver medal or not. You still are identified as a member of that team. And I think by what Special Olympics does is the same thing. When you get a ribbon, you participated in their Olympic Games. Back when I was young, if you went out for a baseball team in, let's say, Little League, and you couldn't make Little League, there was always then Minor League.
Yeah.
And you got to participate in Minor League.
Yep.
Things have changed a little nowadays, but it's a topic that's really interesting. But I think, and I was at that Special Olympics. I was doing radio recording at that Special Olympics to talk about. And there's just something amazing about watching those Special Olympics athletes do what they do. Every one of them should get recognition. Just like, I'll be honest with you, any child that participates in any activity like that, get recognition. It doesn't mean that you won, but you know, you went out and you participated.
Yep. So. I agree. Can't argue with Eunice.
That's exactly right. All right, Willie, we'll talk with you next week.
Okay, Marshall, thanks a lot. Take care.
Take care.
Bye.
Willie Hallahan, sportingacause.com on the web.